The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
This is Kevin Lawless for NBC 5 News, your place.
It's Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday, 55 degrees, going to be a nice day. Hello, Dave, over in the Iron Gate. And you wanted to talk a bit about, I was talking about my pebble in my shoe about the income tax. Today, of course, being the day to file. And I really don't like this, you know, confessing your sins to the government. And I also don't like wages for income for labor being treated differently than wages from other sources or income from other sources. I don't like that. But that's me.
Well, I was going to say is it basically makes you a wage slave because I'll show you an example. I worked with a guy that made the same amount of money as I did. We started at the same time.
Dave, start that again. Your cell kicked out. Go ahead.
I said, I worked with this guy that we started the job at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And we were making the same money, and he wanted to show, he showed me his stub, I showed him my stub, and he goes, wow, they take a lot of money out of you. And I said, but you have six kids, and you get the child income tax credit, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
I don't have any children. I'm not married, so I don't have eight dependents. I got one at the most. And he says, well, I noticed the You're claiming one. I said, yeah, I'm claiming one because I don't want to overpay by claiming zero, which sometimes if a job's short, I would claim zero.
Yeah.
Just so that I could claim other times I could claim like four and not pay anything out of my check. But I always kept track of it. But he said that he got an $8,000. He was paying, only tax he was paying was Social Security, but yet, at the end of the year, when he filed his taxes, he got an $8,000 refund.
What you're showing, though, is the social engineering which goes into the income tax rules and laws, right?
Right, right. And it's, he said, well, doesn't that make you angry? I said, not at you.
No. No, I'm not angry at the people that use the tax laws. I'm not that. It's, but on the other hand, of course, the tax rules, maybe, though, this was the reason they made the tax rules the way they are, is because they are looking at declining income or declining population, ultimately, at least
right.
Native. In fact, they've been looking to have essentially illegal aliens rebuild the population base of the United States. So I suppose that's a good thing, you know, to encourage the species to reproduce, certainly. You know, I understand that sort of thing. But ultimately, wouldn't we be better off with some sort of a national sales tax? Ultimately, I know sales tax, we sit around here and we're revolted by that here, or we have revulsion for it.
I think a national sales tax is much better because you can choose not to buy something. And it's only for new stuff you would buy. On the secondary market, used stuff, you wouldn't have a sales tax on it. Under a lawful system
and a lot less paperwork too, Dave. A lot less paperwork. You know, to not have to file an income tax return, to not have to confess sins to the federal government, I'm good. I really would be.
Yeah, I think the gas tax is the fairest tax because it's nobody's business when you pay your taxes.
And, of course, Salem wants to screw that up, too. All right, Dave, I appreciate the call, but thanks for kicking it off here. It's open phones on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. We can talk about taxes. We can talk about anything else on your mind. I'm going to share a pebble that people are having up on Skyview Drive in Jackson County. I wasn't even aware of this, but boy, they've got a world of hurt over there.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is sponsored by Fontana Roofing. For roofing, gutters, and sheet metal services, visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
Since 1936
at DraftKings.com/.
Hear KMED in Grants Pass on 105.9 K290 AF Rogue River in South Jackson County on 106.7 K294 AS Ashland.
17 after 8. Great to have you here. 770-5633. It is open phones on Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. And by the way, if you're Brad, I hung up on you accidentally as I was trying to put you on hold. Operator error. Call back. We'll get you in, okay? All right. We go to Steve. Hello, Steve. Now, you say that a couple of things you wanted to talk about. First off, you are almost greatest generation. or else one of the oldest baby boomers, one right kind of right there on that deal. I was talking about the generational divides a little bit earlier, and I don't blame millennials and Gen Zs for some of the proclivities. Some of this, I think, was brought in government schooling and also maybe lack of parenting. And that was probably from either the older boomers. I don't know. But how are you thinking this morning, huh?
Well, first let's talk about Trump and what he's doing.
Okay.
And he's actually trying to transition us from the post-World War II economy, whereby the United States gave concessions to Japan and to South Korea and to Europe to try to build them up. And those concessions just have gone on and on and on, and nothing has ever been done.
Well, it's kind of like everything else. There's nothing that's more like a perpetual motion machine than a government program most of the time, right?
Well, yeah, exactly that. And politicians have figured out a way to richen themselves by doing that. So the only way that Trump could see to get us out of that mode was to dramatically change everything just by putting a tariff on everybody. And, of course, you can make cases for any particular business or any country that, oh, this is unfair. But it's really the only way that he can see to change things so that the world is a more fair place for the United States.
Okay, now what is a more fair place for the United States here? Because we are by far the largest economy, out there, and we hand over little fake pieces of paper to other places, and they send us real stuff. So how badly are we being ripped off?
Well, we're being ripped off because we keep having these huge trade deficits.
But a trade deficit is nonsense. It just means that somebody uses their advantage to. And this is where I disagree with the president, and he can bring up the former president that was the big tariff king though, and it's not the world that it was when McKinley was doing big tariffs.
Well, that's true. It's not, but at the same time, we're at a disadvantage because all of the basic industry jobs have gone elsewhere, and it's been partly because of the policies of this government and people who take advantage of it and enrich themselves by allowing that to happen. But the bottom line is we don't make things here anymore, and we have this trade deficit. So he's trying to do two things. He's trying to get it so that we can make things again in this country.
But remember, we have a trade deficit because we're also we are the world's reserve currency. You have to run a trade deficit. Otherwise, there is no trade because everybody settles trades in dollars. We have to. That's why we've gotten to the point where we export our inflation. And you can say you don't want to do that, but if you want to say, okay, we don't want to be the world reserve currency any longer and we want to have trade surpluses, et cetera, that's going to be a super big change for the United States.
Well,
would it not be?
Yes, it is going to be a change, and I don't know that that will ever happen if we're going to maintain the strong dollar, which is what you're talking about. But if you want to make a change from the policies of post-World War II, whereby we gave advantages to countries to let them build up their economies, and they don't need to build up their economies anymore. They have a strong economy. They have strong economies, and there are just huge imbalances in European automobiles, for example. There's just huge things out there that don't let the United States compete in the world market.
Okay. All right. Steve, I appreciate that. Now, go ahead and do the generational thing. You wanted to comment on that earlier, Neil. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I was born right after the end of World War II, and, nobody had much of anything. Everything was put into the war effort. And so, my parents, my dad joined the Navy, and he got ulcers, so he got out. He worked in a mill up in the woods all during World War II. Mm-hmm. My mom cooked for 14 men on a wood cook stove. Their view of the world was so different than it is today. And, I lived the first couple of years of my life in a tent with a wood floor because they didn't have anything. Dad managed to buy an acre of land and build a house on it, one 2x4 at a time. So, You know, I just saw the world in a different light than most people do. I was a baby boomer, kind of going to college when the transition was happening from World War II people into baby boomer kind of land, where the value of a college education was so high. And the reason that college education was so valuable is because during World War II, if you had a college education, you were an officer.
Yeah, that's right.
And if you didn't, you were a grunt. So people looked at that and said, hey, this is a way for me to have an advantage.
All right. Point well taken. Thanks for the call. 770-5633. It is Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday, 823. Hi, good morning. Who is this? Welcome.
Bill, it's your friend Brad. Good morning.
Brad, sorry I hung up on you earlier, but go ahead. What's on your mind?
We're still friends. So, you know, you always have these great discussions about grant stream funding and what happens downstream. And not only are you absolutely right, but this is becoming a bigger and bigger issue. Why? Because we know that 30%, roughly 30% of Oregon's budget is made up from federal downloads. So on a $30 billion budget, that means that the federal government's part of that is about $9 billion. We know that this administration is serious about getting states to comply with the executive orders.
And so they want to take a meat axe to that, sure. And I would also add, probably get us in line with federal policy via that meat axing, wouldn't you say?
Well, yes, and the important thing I think to understand is that Trump isn't just going after this reservoir of money. He's going after their money machine. He's not just going after this big pool of money that the progressive left has been building up for years and years and years. He is disassembling the equipment that manufactures the money.
And for that, we say Godspeed. I say Godspeed, yeah. If that's the case, right?
We know that all the top positions in Oregon are funded by out-of-state money, right? So if we limited campaign contributions to just inside the state of Oregon, Christine Drazen would be our governor, Lenthicum would be our secretary of state, and Will Lather would be our attorney general. But because the left has these big pools of money out there, they can literally, I mean, there's only 4.2 million people in Oregon, and it doesn't take that much to influence an election.
What would you actually like no campaign financing from outside the state? Do you think that would be a way of going about this? And I don't know how this would pass according to Citizens United and First Amendment issues, because First Amendment is protecting political speech more than anything else. What do you think?
I don't think you need to get into the constitutional limitations on that sort of thing, because what we're having here is we're having a discussion about the practical limitation. Once you make this money unavailable because they don't have this money manufacturing monster that they used to have, it's going to make it a much more level playing field. It's not a level playing field when literally tens of millions of dollars can come in from outside of the state and give people elected officials that they otherwise would not support.
Very good point. Thanks for making it, Brad. 770-5633. Pebble in Your Shoe Tuesday. Hi, good morning. And who might you be? Who's this?
This is Gene.
Hi, Gene. Welcome back. What's on your mind?
Okay, one thing. Have you figured that maybe those National Guard in Mexico is being sacrificial goats? No weapons, dressed in shorts and polo shirts.
Yeah, by the way, I do have to stand corrected. I just got an email, a news report, that they are going to be in uniform, but still no guns. Can you believe that?
Good targets.
Yeah, I know. I'm just thinking, man, I didn't get that. All right. What about the other point you wanted to make? Go ahead.
Well, I watched the, believe it or not, Channel 12 News.
Uh-huh.
I was trying to get the weather and for Grants Pass, and President Trump was on. He said he would like to send American criminals, the hard criminals, to El Salvador, but he can't. It's against the law.
Right.
Francine should have listened to all of it.
Okay. We should have what now listened to? I missed your statement there, Gene. Say that again. We missed it all, or what?
Francine should have listened to all of the what he said instead of just what they were putting out.
Okay, got it. Appreciate the call, Gene. And you have a good one. 770-5633. Good to hear from Gene in Joe County. Let me go to you. I don't know who's here, but we're going to find out. Good morning.
Morning, Bill. This is Steve in Sunny Valley.
Hi, Steve.
Yeah. So the other Steve is a boomer, but if he had been born a year earlier, he would have been part of the lost generation. And that's the generation that people always forget about, between the greatest and the boomers. So
kind of the silent, isn't that termed the either lost or silent generation, right?
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely right about Gen X. They will not listen to anybody tell them to go get a vaccine.
Yeah, and that's why I'm thinking, you know, Pfizer's paying this Elizabeth Banks character to go out there. Come on, Gen Xers. Let's, you know, this is our shot. It's time for us to take our shot. Or take our shot. It's like, what?
Yeah. And I was born a couple years after you, and I consider myself a Gen Xer. I just do, because I was into computers when I was young and everything else.
Well, I'm 1961, and I find myself with kind of a toe in each one, in each generation, because the touchstones of the older baby boom generation, you know, Woodstock and the civil rights stuff and thing. You know, I was just a little kid then, you know?
Yeah.
It didn't have the same.
I was three.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And so that's why they've almost talked about people like you and me. They term it, some demographers call it Generation Jones. Generation Jones, kind of like a little subset between Generation X and the baby boomers, the main, you know, horde of the baby boomers, and a little bit of that feel of both, really.
I feel like they changed the goalposts. I remember when I was in high school, I was Gen X.
Oh, yeah, 1963 birth? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, huh. I always thought it was 1965 was the dividing line there, I thought.
It is now, but it wasn't originally.
Yeah.
I'm sure they changed the goalposts on that one.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But the thing is, though, is that Gen X was like considered the slackers at first. I honestly think that many of them became very good parents as time went on, from what I've read.
Yeah, I hope so. I know we homeschooled our kids.
Yeah. Well, I think that's part of it, not really trusting institutions, and so they took a lot of that on themselves. So good for them. Appreciate the call, Steve. Let me grab another. Actually, I'll tell you what. If you're on hold, I will get right to you. We'll have another round of calls here before news, and this is the Bill Myers Show, 770-5633.
There's been a crew of roofers out there for nearly three decades.
28 years.
News Talk 106.3 KMED. This hour of the Bill Myers Show is sponsored by Fontana Roofing. For roofing, gutters, and sheet metal services, visit FontanaRoofingServices.com.
And you know, when you have the polka, you know Brad's here from SLM. Slovenian Lives Matter. How you doing, Brad? What's on your mind?
Hey, you know, I know how old you are.
Yes.
Do you realize you're a senior?
Yeah, I do. You become a senior citizen these days if you are 55 plus, right? Isn't that how they term it?
Oh, you know, what's so interesting is how many dynamics affect seniors. And yet we are the major force in the economy of senior, the senior population.
Well, at least that's where most of the wealth is still gathered at this point in time.
Hey, the reason I called, I study food supplies, and because many of your listeners are seniors, it affects us as consumers. And what I'm getting to is there are several food items that are having tremendous inflation rates. I'll give you four.
Okay.
Olive oil has had a huge impact because the production rate is decreasing because of some conditions that are in the growers' economy. There's some diseases that are affecting olive trees.
I was not aware of that. So olive oil could be something that if you can get it at a good price, get it now, tuck it away.
Well, we're talking 30% to 40% rate increases.
That's good to know.
Olive oil.
Okay. And if you're going to tuck it away, you might want to get it in the can, right? The can would probably protect it for storage longer.
I would imagine. Mm-hmm. Another food item, oranges. Oranges is having, the growers are having an immense impact on a disease that's affecting the trees and production. Therefore, prices are going to go up. So to be able to buy oranges now is a better purchase than buying oranges later.
Okay, fair enough. And what are the other two quickly here? I'm just almost out of time.
Okay, so avocados and rice, both of which supply will be reduced dramatically. Prices will follow.
I'm figuring that we're going to see that, and also more use of avocado oil, too, which I'm now using exclusively for my real frying, heavy-duty frying.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's just something for consumers to know.
All right. Hey, appreciate the call there. Thank you for the tip. Can't really store the oranges, but I can store avocado oil, and I can store the other stuff that you were talking about, all right? Olive oil. I'm going to do that, too. Let me go to, it would be Richard. Richard's in Medford. Hi, Richard.
Yes, good morning, Bill.
Morning.
So I was just listening to your conversation earlier about income tax and sales tax.
Yes.
And theoretically, I'd be in favor of a sales tax if it replaced the income tax. But has anybody ever come up with a number of what percentage it would require to replace it?
I recall last time they were trying to do it in the state of Oregon, I thought they were talking about a 6 or 7 percenter is what they thought it would take to do it. I'd almost have to look that up, Richard. And it is a, I want to say 6 or 7%, but don't hold me to that, okay? All right?
Yeah, well, just a curiosity question, because I think if they did one or the other.
That's just it. They never want to do one or the other, though, right? They always want a little bit of everything, I think, is what they're trying to do.
They just want more.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for the call, Richard. And line 4, I don't know who's here, but we'll give you a quick bite. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
This is Gene.
Oh, Gene, we already had you on. What's up?
I know. I'd like a second bite, though.
Okay, well, you haven't called for a long, long time, so I will defer to my elder, okay?
Okay, I consider myself a war baby, and I am not silent. And as far as that goes, after they had the experimental drugs, there's no damn way I trust any manufacturer of drugs, period.
Well, gosh, you're more Generation X than you think.
Nah. I'm a war baby. I was born during World War II.
I know. I'm just teasing you about that, Gene. Appreciate the call. 770-5633-770-KMD. See if I can grab one more before we have open for business and news. Let me go to the next line. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Hi, Bill. It's Rich.
Rich, how are you?
I heard you talking about taxes a little bit ago.
Okay.
And you said something about a sales tax.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one reason that Oregon has never passed the sales tax. And the reason is the dirty, wily scallywags, no matter what they say, they're not going to quit the taxes they already have.
And I understand that suspicion. I really do.
I don't know if it's a suspicion or a fact, though, buddy.
Yeah. Maybe so. Now, I suppose if the – and I think, though, with the with the way that if it was a citizen initiative to do, okay, we're going to pass a sales tax and repeal the income tax and eliminate it, that would almost have to be referred to by the legislature, because I think you couldn't do it on an initiative if it dealt with more than one item, right? You can only do one thing at a time in a...
Very true that way.
Yeah. And so that makes it tough for the citizens to do it.
Right, but what would be the thing with the way they put on stuff now, like just, you know, the 0.5% tax that some all of a sudden it just appeared and we didn't have to on cars and, you know, considered a luxury tax. No one had any vote on that.
Oh, that's because it was a corporate activity tax put on by our state legislature. That's why,
Think they're not going to do that in the future if they get a sales tax? Because I think the whole position is, mommy, can I have more?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're absolutely right. So maybe, but of course, I don't know. Income tax in Oregon is very progressive, and you get up to that 10-11% mark very, very quickly.
Agree.
So it is a big burden on the poor, too, for sure. Appreciate the call. Thank you for making that. And then we're going to close the calls here for a little bit. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Ready to upgrade your roof to a durable, sleek metal option?